الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Yesterday we had the opportunity to speak about the very important topic of depression and the blues. And in that discussion, one of the points that we mentioned was that a person should have a routine of very short goals so that as they achieve those goals, they can be inspired to complete the next. So maybe very simplistically, we can just summarize that point that, you know, we as human beings, we need success. That's just how we are programmed. And it doesn't need to be a big success. It just needs to be a success. And each time we achieve success, we over a sequence of events throughout a day, we progressively get encouraged to the next success. So, for example, I've spoken about this here before as well, but if a person wakes up in the morning and then makes a very simple dua, it could be as simple as, Alhamdulillah, I've woken up. You know, Allah has blessed me to wake up this morning. That's a success. The ability to get up, make a dua, and move on to the next thing, that's a success. And when a person has a success, it's their nature that they'll look forward to the next success. Similarly, when a person gets up and makes wudu, that's a success. When a person gets up and then makes wudu and then prays fajr, that's another success. And each time you get these little bouts of success, what ends up happening is that each success drives the person to the next success. Now, does that mean that every single thing in life is going to be a success? No, that's not the way life works. Everything in life is a mix. There's a mix of successes and there's a mix of failures. But we don't need everything to be a success. We just need to see that we're progressing and that we're moving along in a day to a series of successes, even if along the way there's quote-unquote a failure. So this is just the way by which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us. We cannot bypass it. And in fact, I will say one more thing, you know, just as an aside, it's popping up in my head as I'm speaking. It, you know, like I said in the beginning, it doesn't need to be a big success, it just needs to be any success. There's no benefit to a big success. Here, I'll just give you a very simple example, which is just to show you how we're created. They say that, and you learn this from many different dimensions, but they say that if you give somebody a really big gift, you don't get much more than as if you gave a small gift. Because human beings don't have the ability to capture the vastness of that gift. So you don't really get credit. For example, you buy somebody a car. Okay, just to say you give somebody a gift of a car. They're going to appreciate that you gave them the gift, but they're not going to appreciate, and they'll appreciate that it's a big gift, but they're not going to necessarily appreciate it to the extent that you could clearly have a formula that would say, for example, if I would have given you a $5 bouquet of flowers, that since the car cost 1,000 times more, that you are going to be 1,000 times happier and you're going to remember that gift for 1,000 more days. Right? Because think about this way. If I give you a bouquet of flowers or a box of candy or make it anything, and it's, let's say it costs $5. So in that $5 gift, what ends up happening is you gain a certain degree of happiness. There's a connection that's built between our hearts. And you remember that gift for a day. Let's just say, typical gift you remember for a day. You can't make the argument that if I would have given you a $50,000 car, that you would have been 1,000 times happier, and that that gift would last in your memory for 1,000 days, such that 3 years later, roughly 1,000 days, right? Let's say a little bit less than 3 years later, you would be as happy as if you got the gift on the first day. It doesn't work that way. Human beings are not designed that way. There's studies that show this, by the way. So small gifts over time are much more likely to have the effect that we desire, which is, what do we desire? When we give a gift, we desire that people be happy. We desire that there be a connection between them and me and them, correct? These are some of the benefits of giving a gift, along with the fact that we feel good, they feel good, and a connection develops between the two good hearts. So we don't gain the full effect of a big gift. If a big gift is given, it's maybe a little bit bigger, but it's not going to be at the effect of the vastness of that gift. That's the point that I'm trying to make. Now, the same thing also occurs in the actions that we perform. So we're not like, we do one thing, we gain a victory. We gain a success. We get a little bit of encouragement to do the next thing. We do another thing, we gain a little bit of encouragement to do the next thing. It doesn't mean that we have to do a big thing. A big thing is not going to necessarily give us additional encouragement. It's going to be very similar to the small thing that we did. Anyway, that was an aside. The point that I wanted to make today is that we do these small things over time, and every time we gain a little bit of energy to do the next thing. Now, one other important feature of how we function is that if a person continuously does something, then that perpetual doing of that thing will actually cause them to react in the opposite way so that they gain less and less drive each time they do that, or for the extended time that they do that. Okay, the example that they give, the scientists, the example that they give is that, let's say that there's a person who really enjoys something. Let's make it that they really enjoy playing a video game. So I just happen to love video games, and I love playing one particular video game. Yes, when I play that video game, let's say that one bout of that video game is 20 minutes long or 10 minutes long. Okay, let's say a game is 10 minutes. So when I play that game the first time for 10 minutes, I'm going to gain a certain amount of pleasure. I'll get some pleasure from that. Now, if I play that game again, as soon as 10 minutes is up, now, instead of getting 100 units of pleasure, I get 75 units of pleasure. Now, if I play that game again, then I get 50 units of pleasure. Now, if I play that game again, then I get 25 units of pleasure. If I play it again, I get 10 units of pleasure. I play it again, I get 5 units of pleasure. And if I play it again and again, then eventually I get no pleasure out of it. In fact, sometimes I'll even get pain from it. You know, if you give somebody so much of something, then they actually don't even want that thing. They hate that thing, right? They just hate that thing. Now, the reason for this is because what happens is we have this balance within us. We have this balance between pleasure and pain. These two things, they balance within us. Every time we get a little bit of a hit of pleasure, chemically they call that dopamine, but let's put that away for a second. Every time we get a little bit of a hit of pleasure, we also get a little bit of a hit of pain. Now, why do you need a little bit of pain with pleasure? Because without pain, you don't get the next pleasure. You understand what I'm saying? It's very subtle. For example, if you don't know what it means to be full unless you're hungry. You don't know what it means to be hot unless you're cold. You don't know what it means to be happy unless you've been sad. Every experience that we have is always balanced at the extremes. So pleasure has to be with pain. It cannot be that we're just pleasure, 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 and never experience pain, because we wouldn't feel what actually pleasure is. You have to balance the two. So this is why if somebody repeatedly does something over and over and over and over and over again, eventually they begin to lack the ability to feel pleasure from that thing. And what ends up happening is now they can't experience pleasure because they didn't feel the concomitant pain between those pleasures. I'm talking very scientific, but I'm just trying to highlight a principle here. So hopefully that makes sense. Now, why is that important to us? Because we live in a society where everything now has become so abundant that we could literally constantly give ourselves pleasure, but the only consequence ends up being that we end up feeling pain. Meaning we the whole system is off balance. Maybe I shouldn't say pain. We can give ourselves so much pleasure that we actually can no longer feel pleasure. We don't even enjoy the things that are enjoyable anymore. And this is one of the symptoms of what they call the blues and depression. In medical terms, we call it something called anhedonia. Anhedonia basically is just a very complex word, which basically means I don't feel the pleasure from the things that I normally used to feel pleasure from. I used to enjoy going to see family. I don't really get anything out of it. I used to enjoy reading my favorite book. I don't enjoy it anymore. I used to enjoy eating a particular food. I don't enjoy it anymore. It's one of the features of this concept of depression and the blues. And the scientists say that one of the reasons that this is happening, one of the reasons that we see it increased, but one of the possible reasons, I should say, that we see an increase in this symptom, this particular symptom associated with depression or not, this just symptom of lack of ability to feel pleasure, is because we're constantly feeling pleasure. You have to put breaks in between. There has to be pleasure, then boredom, then pleasure, then boredom, then pleasure, then boredom. Now, what happens today is like nobody wants to be bored for 5 minutes. I've mentioned this before. Like kids, they'll be like, I'm bored. Or forget about kids, everybody, I'm bored. What do you mean you're bored? I'm bored. I don't have anything to do at this second. But that's okay. It's okay to be bored. There has to be periods of boredom in between the periods of pleasure to create this balance, because without that balance, you're not going to know what the next pleasure is. If life is such that I can always have a coffee anytime I want it, I can always have everything delivered to my door immediately after I press a button, I can always have any food that I want, I can always just sit on the screen all day, then what ends up happening is our whole chemical balance becomes offset. We no longer appreciate what it means to have a blessing because we're just constantly overlaid with blessings. And this is just a general principle of life. It's actually a principle of our deen, and it's a principle of our dunya. How is it a principle of our deen? It's the same way in deen. I can tell you, if we sat around and did dhikr all day, you would lose the pleasure of dhikr. One of the reasons that we feel the benefit of dhikr is because we leave dhikr, we go away from it, we feel what it is like to not have it, and when we come back to it, there's a very special pleasure in it. Nobody can pray all day. Nobody can do dhikr all day. Nobody can read Quran all day. If a person literally sat and read Quran all day, eventually they would get to the point where they themselves would not be able to derive the pleasure from Quran despite the inherent pleasure within it. Everything has to be broken up. This is actually best captured. I'm sitting here and babbling over my words and perhaps not even very clear, but this is most eloquently captured in the statement of the Prophet ﷺ, which is actually in the book of Imam Tirmidhi, in which the Prophet ﷺ said, "Inna li kulli shay'in shirra." Listen to the words, it's very powerful. "Inna li kulli shay'in shirra." Verily, each thing has an energy. Each thing has like an energy that a person can put themselves towards it. Has an excitement, has an energy that drives a person to it. "Wali kulli shirra," and for every energetic excitement, for every energy, for every excitement, "fatra," is a weakening. Is a weakening. Meaning, everything has its place. Everything has an energy associated with it. But that energy is not going to be present if a person is continuously doing that thing. They will weaken. That energy will weaken because they're continuously pursuing that thing. Meaning, no human being, in this case, the scholars, when they write the interpretation here, they say that no human being can continuously do ibadah. No human being can continuously do an act of worship. They need to do the work, worship, and then they need to break it. And then they do the worship, and then they break it. Just like, look at our fasting. I mean, it could have been that we just fasted the whole month, right? You could have just fasted all day and all night. But notice that you fast and you break, and you fast and you break, and you fast and you break, and there is a benefit in that. Similarly, if a person wants to fast continuously, the Prophet ﷺ prohibited or discouraged that a person should fast continuously every single day. Instead, if a person really wants to do the most, which was also not necessarily encouraged, but if a person really wants to push it, they can fast a day, break a day, fast a day, break a day, fast a day, break a day. Because if it was continuously done, it would become, you would lose the essence of actually what we were hoping to achieve. Now, the reason that I say this, and I mentioned this to all of you, not because we're here to take a stick and tell everybody, you know, don't do this and don't do that. I'm just saying for ourselves. Just saying for ourselves, we should really think about how much we pursue things and whether we are getting caught up in this, what they call this constant pleasure principle. Like, you know, fine. Even in Islam, I'll give you an example. You know, watching or listening to one Islamic lecture a week is a really good thing. But then when it becomes one a day, I can tell you I start having questions. But then when it becomes like five a day, you start having real questions. Or if it becomes seven a day, like literally just binging and binging and binging and binging on something, the effect is not going to be present as it would be if a person were, for example, to listen once a day. Even the scholars, if you look historically, they used to have this question, you know, how often should you address a crowd? Like, how often is it appropriate to address a crowd? And we don't have to look further than our deen to see that it's not often. For example, which aspect of our deen requires us to be addressed? Like, you come to prayer, you're not supposed to say it. And there's nothing that requires you to be told something. You come, you pray, you leave. The only time we're actually addressed is Jum'ah. Jum'ah is once a week. It's a short address. In fact, the khutbah tends to be long nowadays, but technically the khutbah is supposed to be, this address is supposed to be less than the prayer. The prayer should be longer, the khutbah should be shorter. So you get this punch of a piece of advice that's given once a week, and that once a week has a value. People see it like it's a special event. I need to come. It's Jummah. I need to present myself. I need to prepare myself. I need to try to come early. I need to take a bath. I need to put on the best clothing. I try to make the best out of it. I recognize it's a special day. It has a special feeling, but it only occurs once a week. If every day was special, then no day would be special. That's kind of the way we can think about this. So if our lives become such that we try to pursue anything in beyond the ability of us to tolerate it, then that's not going to be beneficial. In fact, eventually it begins to harm us. So everything has a balance. Our routines should have a balance. Our amount of time that we spend doing various acts should have a balance. You don't want to, it's like if you were with somebody 24/7, you eventually get sick of them. Even in a relationship, you don't want to be 24/7 with any one person. You don't want to be working 24/7. You don't want to be at home 24/7. You have to be a little bit at work, a little bit with your family, a little bit with this member, a little bit with that member, a little bit doing this, a little bit doing that. Everything needs to be changed up on occasion. There needs to be breaks for each thing so that everything can reset and be exciting. And similarly, we don't need to be entertained every second. Like, it's not that now I'm not doing anything, so I need to be doing something. I mean, to have periods of silence makes the voice much more pleasurable. To have periods of silence, that's what makes the speech or the sound that much more pleasurable. So if we have, you know, periods of time where I might necessarily have to be in silence, or I have periods of time where I'm not necessarily being entertained, that's a good thing. That's okay. In fact, it's beneficial. And also, if we begin to pursue things, whenever we pursue things, we ourselves should always take breaks in between. For example, if I enjoy video games, it's the thing that really just, you know, takes the edge off and allows me to be able to reset, then okay, you play it once. Or maybe you play it twice. And then you put it away so that the next time, the next day, it becomes just as special. So that there's a balance that's maintained. You know, I did something, I clearly have a reason, a benefit that I'm trying to attain. Okay, in the process of that, I got the benefit that I was looking for. Now, the additional benefit that's going to arise isn't really going to be beneficial for me. It's going to take me off of my system. So maybe I don't. Maybe I should put that away for some period of time in anything that we do. Now, again, like I said, you know, what's happening is that we live in such an immediate society and such a constant pleasure. You know, everything is just my pleasure. I want to drink this. I want to eat this. I want to watch this. I want to play this. I want to listen to this. I want to do this. I want to go here. I want to go there. But we ourselves, we can't sit for any one thing because we're just constantly, you know, wanting to be entertained, constantly wanting to fill every single second of our day with some pleasure. And eventually what happens is those things, they tap on us over time. They eventually tap us out. And then eventually we end up in a place where we can no longer experience pleasure to begin with. I don't think it's a coincidence that if you just look at the simple sociologic data in the world, that the people who tend to be the most unfulfilled are the ones who are the most wealthy. You know, if you look at, I'm sure you've all seen this, that if you look at a list of the happiness, I mean, I know, what does that really mean? But just, you know, I'm just taking this from there, from that angle, that if you look at these lists and studies that are done, like who are the most happy in the world, who are the most content in the world, if they take a survey, then it tends to be that the places that seemingly have the least tend to have actually the most happiness inside. And the societies that seemingly have the most tend to be the least happy inside. I'm not saying every person. I'm just giving you a general, you know, average. I mean, you can look these things up. I don't do these studies. I'm just sharing the information. I think we all have heard this. So why is it? It's because too much pleasure is not a good thing. Too much luxury is not a good thing. Too much service is not a good thing. It's a good thing to have to get in the car, go get the groceries. It's a good thing to have to get in the car and go do that. Why? Because there's a little bit of pain associated with a little bit of pleasure. Yeah, it's painful to start the car, go out, put on your jacket, go and drive to the store, get up, have to move your feet, grab the thing from the shelf, put it in the car, bring it back home. But now when you get the thing, it actually has a pleasure associated with it. Whereas nowadays, you know, even that much is disappearing. Now you just press a button and everybody's racing to bring it to you as fast as they can. And it doesn't, it's not like, you know, we need everything delivered to our door because we're so busy in ibadah that I don't even have time anymore to go and get my groceries from the store. You know, I just need everything delivered to me immediately because I'm just fulfilling my purpose maximally. No, it's not that. It's just what ends up happening is that we fill that quote-unquote free time with other things that are just completely worthless. You know, now I can watch one more episode of Netflix, or I can watch, play one more game, or I can entertain myself in one more way. It's not healthy. It's not balanced. We should appreciate that every pleasure also has there's diminishing returns. They call this a law of diminishing returns. There's diminishing returns. There's diminishing returns. When we experience a pleasure, we should be grateful. We should appreciate it. But we should balance it with things that allow us to reset. And subhanAllah, the deen is that way. In many ways, the deen causes you to pause. I mean, you take a break, you have a pleasure of the body, and then you take a break and you have a pleasure of the soul. And then you see that, you know, prayer is a pleasure of the soul. But then you can't sit in the masjid. Then you get up, you leave the pleasure of the soul, and you go back and you take care of some of the needs of the body. Then you come back and you have a need of the soul. So this sort of yin and yang, you know, they call it yin yang, or, you know, pendulum swinging back and forth, this is a very good thing. We actually need the dunya to experience the deen. And you actually need the deen to be able to survive the dunya. Everything is balanced, and this deen is perfectly balanced, and you'll see the sunnah is so perfectly balanced. You know, there's a time for eating, and there's a long time for fasting, or, you know, not eating. But now this, you know, continuous snacking, continuous meals, continuous, you know, filling, you know, sipping on this and sipping on that, and then snacking on this and snacking on that, we lose the whole feeling of what it even means to have something come in our mouth and experience and be present in that particular moment. The texture of the food, the feeling of the food, the taste of the food, even that is lost upon us because we're so caught up in the next moment, the next benefit, the next pleasure. But anyway, the simple summary for today, this was a topic that came up yesterday. There were so many things that came up yesterday. Literally each one could have been an hour. But, you know, as we were talking about this yesterday, you know, we mentioned that we should set goals for ourselves and we should keep ourselves productive. We said particularly that we should be active. And when we are active, we also should appreciate that in between that activity, sometimes it's good for there to be silence. You know, like they say, it's good to speak, but it's also good to listen. You can't just speak all the time. You can't just listen all the time. Sometimes you have to speak and sometimes you have to listen. Like everything is created with a balance. And that's what allows a person to reach their optimal state. Just, you know, anyway, there's so many examples. I don't want to go into all those details today. That's just a very simple message. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to balance ourselves in a way that allows us to be able to experience all of the blessings that He has bestowed upon us, while at the same time understanding the reality of the passing nature of these blessings. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst those who are able to protect ourselves and maintain our mental health so that we may be able to worship Him in this life and be able to taste His pleasures and blessings in the hereafter. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين